to those words, my, what a difference it would be in our lives. Now, I'm going to speak to you about Laodicea, okay? And I said to Jeff, I saw him this week. He said, I won't be there on Sunday, Eric. You may think I'm avoiding you, but I'm not. He said, we're going away for the weekend. So I said, well, you won't be able to hear what I got to say. And he said, oh, yes, I will. I shall listen to the tape. So we'll blank out the tape perhaps today. No, but this is a lovely, lovely passage of Scripture. And I think I've got the best church, actually, to preach on. Okay? I was looking at them all. And I thought to myself, well, what you need to do is to visit Laodicea and see what it's like, to understand it. Okay? I'm very, I always think it's very important to get behind the scriptures and see the situation. Then you can understand the scriptures far better. And so I've even got a PowerPoint presentation for you this morning. How is that? I don't think I've ever done it before, but can I have the first one up? Now, you've been doing the seven churches, haven't you? Okay? And if you remember, I don't know, this is why they gave me this one. That's the one we're going to do today. The Laodicea. Okay? I think you've done the Ephesus, Philadelphia, all these here. And John was on the Isle of Patmos when he had the vision about this, the book of Revelation. And we've been to Patmos. Anybody else been to Patmos? Well, we have. We went there many years ago, didn't we? And they sort of take you to the place where he was supposed to have been when he had the vision and all that. Very interesting. But that's the town or city we're going to look at this morning. Can I have the next one? It's right, as you see, in the centre of Turkey. Okay? Can we have the next one? And it was on the main trade routes. Okay? So it was a very, very important city. As you can see, here was Colossae, and here were Polis. I want you to take note of those two places, okay? Because I'm going to talk about those two in a moment. So, they were on the main, this was the Royal Road, they were on the main roads, it was a centre, it was a big city, a massive city, a very rich city, okay? And if we can have the next one, this is a sort of an AI sort of impression of what the city may have looked like. It was a centre of commerce. It had banks. It had a beautiful shopping centre. It was a place where wealth was in abundance. Okay? You've got to remember that. The people were very, very self-supporting. And it was an important city in the Roman Empire. It had a banking system. You could purchase all the material things that you needed. It was a textile centre, and they made a certain garment from black wool, which the Romans used to treasure to have. They had a hospital, and where they had that special ointment for eyes. And people used to travel for miles around to this place. It was a so rich that they were very much independent. But in AD 60, there was an earthquake. AD, the town was destroyed by this earthquake. Because of its importance, the Roman Emperor Nero said, I'll send money for you to rebuild the city. But the people of Laodicea said, there's no need to. We have enough wealth of our own. We will rebuild it ourselves. And so they were very, very self-supporting. Well, they were proud of their wealth. As I say, they were a prosperous city. But there was one problem with Laodicea. Can I have the next slide? Oh, this is how it is now. Because it was destroyed, they rebuilt it, but then it was destroyed again. And the next one? Yeah, if you go there, no, that's all you can see. The next one, they had a problem. And that was the water supply to the city. Okay? They had to bring the water from a long distance. And they brought the water in these aqueducts. As you can see, they built these aqueducts. And they built these pipes, which I got these pictures off the internet, so they're not terribly plain. But these were pipes. They had to pipe the water a long way from the springs up in the mountains down into the city. And I want you just to notice that there, the crust around there. Right, the next one. We'll show you the pipes again. You see how they had to bring the water through the pipes from the mountains, and there was this crust which built up. And because the water ran down the mountains down to the city in the heat, it became warm. Do you see? And there was a lot of minerals in the water. And that's why all this built up in the pipes. Have you been anywhere? We don't seem to get it here, but have you been places where the electric kettle's all furred up? Yeah? Yeah. That's how it was. And that's how the pipes got. Because of these minerals. And they were very bitter. They were very bitter, and you couldn't drink the water. And it would make you sick. And this is why you get the problem with Laodicea. You understand what's happening here. It was undrinkable, the kind of water that you vomit out as soon as you get it into your mouth. I was watching a program last night, and the word came up, vomitaria. Have you ever heard of a vomitarium? Well, a vomitarium is the entrances to the Colosseum. And when they built the Colosseums, you know, they built lots, didn't they, the Romans? They had massive entrances so that they could get all the people out very quickly, okay? Because the Colosseum would hold about 64,000 people. And at the end, they wanted to get them out. So they went out through the vomitarium. And that's where we get the word vomit, okay? They wanted to get them out quickly. And when you vomit, you know what happens, don't you? It comes up quickly and out. Yeah? And so, and this was the water was like this. Now, I remember Carolyn and myself going to France for holiday. And we went to the central part of France. And to the Mastiff Mountains. That's right. Yeah. And there's a place called Vichy. Does that ring a bell? Vichy in the last war, the Vichy government. And I wanted to go and have a look at the town just for history's interest, you know. There's nothing there much, but we went to Vichy. I don't know if Carolyn will remember this, but in the centre of the town square, there was a place where you could go and get the water from the springs. Okay, do you remember? Yeah. Sorry? Yes. And it had taps coming up, you know, metal taps and metal mugs on chains, and you could drink the water. It's supposed to be good for you. And the water was running continuously all the time. I went and had a drink, but it was terrible. Ghastly stuff. And I thought, I'd rather be ill than drink this stuff, you know. But, you know, water is so important, isn't it? Eh? So important to us. And these people, they didn't have good, fresh water. And yet they were self-supporting. They had everything they needed, but water was very scarce. Let's just be serious for a moment. If everything was stripped away from our lives, what would be revealed underneath? You see, we are very comfortable people, aren't we? We got comfortable homes. We have our holidays. We have our pensions. Yeah? We have our incomes. We have our jobs. Our businesses. We are like the people in this town. We are very comfortable. We're not in really need of anything much. I know we haven't got our heating allowance now, but I don't think any of us will freeze, do you? Because I can remember getting up in the morning when there was frost when I was a young boy on the inside of the windows. And you put your feet out on cold lino. Yeah? But we got everything that we need. We have a good car. We have a lovely home. And perhaps our aspirations is, well, next year I might get myself an electric car, or I might update my car, or perhaps I'm going to update my home and have alterations done, or perhaps even I may even move to a better place, you know? We have it all planned out. And you know, there's a verse in Deuteronomy which God gave to the children of Israel. And this is what it says. That is the time to be careful. You know? He said, when you go into the promised land and you find that everything's going well and you have you do well with your farming and your vineyards are producing luscious fruit and everything's good. Everything's good. You have everything you want. He said, that's the time. Listen. That is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands and regulations. For when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. And that's a message for us today. You see, this is what happened in Laodicea. This is why, you know, they were lukewarm. They had everything. They were okay. Do you know, I wonder if we woke up tomorrow morning and there was a new law passed, okay? That all churches have to be closed, okay? No one is to mention God. God was to be removed from our thinking, from society, from our schools, from our courts, from everything. Just like North Korea, okay? Every trace of God was to be removed from our nation. Would a lot of Christians find a difference? Or would we just go on the same? Because we've become so self-sufficient and lukewarm. Now, I told you, I don't know if we can go back a couple slides. Is it possible? Yeah. Right, you go back and I'll tell you when to stop. That's the one. Ah, next one. That one. Okay. Now, this is quite interesting. Because these two towns that was quite near Laodicea, this one here, Hierapolis. Now that was very interesting because they had lovely, lovely hot springs there. I think I'll show you a picture in a minute. And on that in Colossa, they had lovely, lovely, cool streams. Okay? Now, can we go on again? There you are. There's the hot springs. I think it's a tourist place. You can go now and, you know, bathe in it. I think the next one's got somebody bathing in it. Yeah. You know, these beautiful hot springs. Have you been to a place where they've had hot springs? Yeah, you have? We went to some... They're lovely, aren't they? I wish we had them around here, because I could spend ages in them. Do me good. It really would. Do my joints good. I remember we went to one place in... I think that was in Turkey, and you could have... go to a place where there were hot springs of mud bath. Yeah, anybody heard of those? And we—that's right, isn't it? And we went in these hot springs, and it was thick mud, and it was lovely. And they said that if you did it every time you went in, you knocked 10 years off your life. So I made Carolyn go in 3 times. I didn't eat it. But you know, it's something lovely. See, that Jesus was saying, you're not like that place, which is hot. Then the next place, I've got the next one. And you're not like Colossa, which has these lovely, cool springs. Eh? You know, where you could drink the water and it was beautiful. You're neither hot like one place, and you're not cold like the other place. You are just lukewarm, okay? You're not like the place where people can come, and they come to your church and they feel the warmth of the fellowship. Eh? That's what we want, isn't it? Where people come in and they find, there's something special in this place. They come in and they feel the warmth, and they find it, it eases the pressures of life, and it helps them with the pains of life, and they can come and they can learn about the love of the Lord Jesus. You know, hot. This is how we should be. You know, we go to Appledore Baptist, and I'm not saying this in any boastful way, but there's a beautiful spirit in Appledore Baptist. And people say when they come there, it's love amongst the members. Isn't that lovely? And that's what you need. We need in our churches that lovely spirit. You know, it's not going to be long before you're going to be an urban church. You're not going to be a little village chapel much longer. You're going to have people all around you. You want people to come in, don't you? And they want to feel the warmth and the love of the people in here. They want to feel that liquid love. They want to come in here so that they can feel relieved, and they can love and come to know and love the Lord Jesus. This is what they want. You know, to be hot like that. You know, as a fellowship. As our fellowships in North Devon. Are we hot? Are we ready for that? Or you could be like Colossa, a cold stream, you know, where people can come who are thirsty for life, and they come and they drink of what we got here. You know, that living water, which satisfies people. Nothing like cool water on a hot day. That's what we need to be like. So that the people who are thirsty outside can come in and they can say, you know, when I go into that little chapel, there's something special there because I feel so refreshed when I go out. Yeah? That's what we need. But so often, you know, our chapels are lukewarm. You know, we want to be refreshing to the people who live around us, to our neighbours, to the village. But so often things come first in our lives, and Jesus hasn't got the first priority. And therefore, we tend to become lukewarm. We say we've got everything, but in respect, we haven't got anything unless we got that lovely flowing water flowing through our lives. We used to sing an old hymn. I haven't got the words written down, so I don't know if I can remember it. If anybody went to the mission, they would remember. It was Channel's Only Blessed Master. And the chorus was, flowing through us, you can use us every day and every hour. And that's what we need, flowing through our lives. Just a channel full of blessing. That's it. Just a channel full of blessing. Well, let me go on, because time's going. So you see how it's with the hot and the cold, right? You know? And poor old Laodicea, they were lukewarm. They never had anything. I'd rather you be really hot, or I'd rather you be like the cold, refreshing streams than just like you are. Okay? So this is a little bit of a challenge for us this morning. Isn't it? I know it's a challenge for me. When I'd done this, and preparing this, I thought to myself, you know, I'm very comfortable. I'm quite happy to go along. But I need to be a channel full of blessing. And this week, I've had a good week. Do you know that? I've been to about 3 coffee mornings. And I've spoken at a meeting. And I've had a good... And do you know, it's been very precious. Because I've spoken to people. I've talked with people. And I've had a lovely, lovely time. I really have. And I've been a blessing to some people. And I just want to say that to you this morning. Yeah. Get out. Meet people. Go to a coffee morning. Let them see that we have something special. Anyway, that's apart from it. So what else is there? Oh, and then the writer says, you know, really, this is a Bible study and we ought to spend more time on it. He tells them that... You think you've got everything, but you haven't got the main things. He says, this is what Jesus said to them. Come to me and buy gold. My gold's far better than your gold. What does that speak of? Well, when you speak of refined gold in the Bible, it means that it's a gift of being able to, when you're in trouble, to be able to stand up and not be knocked down. It says, come to me and buy ointment for your eyes. We used to sing that beautiful song once, open mine eyes and let me see wonderful things you have for me. You know, that's it. Lord, you know, open my eyes, let me see all the good things that you have for me. And then, you know, he says, buy garments for me. My garments are white. They are righteousness. And that you're able to come right in to the presence of God if you have the garments that I give you. So we can live godly lives without guilt or regret. Garments that you can't buy anywhere else. Jesus Christ can give you this wonderful gift. Well, you know, so often our eyes are blinded by our affluence. God wants to open our eyes for us to see things that we've never seen before, treasures of his wisdom, seeing the world and its wealth from God's point of view. You know, one thing I'm sure of, the best things in life only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes us different. That makes life worth living. So finally, how does he finish up with this letter? He says, lovely picture. I'm standing at your door. I'm knocking. And I want to come in. And he says, if anyone opens their door to me, I will come in and have fellowship with them and dine with them. You know, I used to work with a psychiatric consultant, and she was lovely, lovely lady. And she used to deal with teenagers and their problems. And she said to me, "Do you know what the problem is nowadays, Eric?" I said, "Well, there's lots of problems." She said, "Well, one of the problems is that families never sit down and have a meal together. You know, we have our meal on a tray in front of the television, don't we?" "No, you don't." "Oh, you're very good." "Can I do sometimes?" But, you know, as families, it's lovely to sit and have... Why? Because you get to know each other. You share your problems, you share your joys, you share everything, don't you? You sit and you talk, and you talk about what's happened through the day and what's going to happen tomorrow and how you feel. You know, when we were in France and you go out of a Sunday afternoon for a walk and just after lunch, you see families sitting on a balcony, all eating together, having Sunday, all the family there eating. And you go for a walk for a couple of hours and you come back and they're still there. They're still lovely, absolutely lovely. And this is what the Lord says, you know, "I want to come in to your life. I want to be there with you in that intimate sort of relationship with him." So, friends, finishing off now, how do we measure up to the Christians at Laodicea? Are we like them? Are we lukewarm? Or are we refreshing like the people at Colossae? Or are we really helpful and healing like the people at the waters that hear Apollos? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves, isn't it? And what's our fellowships like in these days when people are really, really looking for something? And I believe that we have the answer in the Lord Jesus. So, can I just challenge you this morning and say perhaps we could make the last hymn that we're going to sing our prayer. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You can have everything. You're going to have priority in my life so that I can be a blessing to those who I meet, those who I talk to. And my fellowship will be a blessing to the village and to the area." Okay? "Take my life and let it be."